Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm your host, Evelyn, and we're so grateful you're joining us today. This podcast flows directly from our Tuesday night Bible study, where we gather not just to gain knowledge, but to be transformed by the living Word of God. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we're continuing our Called Bible Studies series with Lesson 6, Get Planted. This lesson strikes at the heart of our faith journey. Without roots, nothing lasting can grow. And I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts and sister in Christ, my daughter, Crystal.
Thank you, and I'm so glad to be here. So this lesson has been both profoundly comforting yet deeply confronting because it touches something universal in our walk with God. So I believe it's going to challenge all of us in ways that lead to genuine health and spiritual maturity.
Yeah, I agree.
So before we dive in, we do need to clarify something extremely crucial. So when we talk about staying planted, we are absolutely not talking about remaining in abusive situations, manipulative environments, false doctrine, or anything that contradicts Scripture. So God does not call us to endure harm in the name of loyalty. This teaching is about faithfulness, but not foolishness. Everything we share today should be weighed against Scripture and brought before the Lord in prayer.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you today with open hearts and a willing spirit. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would anchor us in truth and steady us where we have been restless. Holy Spirit, search us and know us. Expose impatience, pride, fear, and anything that resists being planted. Teach us what it means to remain. Teach us what it means to flourish. We don't want shallow growth that impresses others. We want deep roots that sustain us in every season. Yes. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to properly acknowledge the source of this study. Our Tuesday night Bible study is based on a Called series by John Bevere, available through the Messenger X platform. We are not affiliated with Messenger X or John Bevere's ministry. We are not reproducing or redistributing their materials. What we share here is simply our personal recap, reflections, and discussions from what we are learning as a group on our Tuesday night Bible study. We strongly encourage you to access the original Called teaching directly through the Messenger X app to receive the full content as intended. This is a free app that you're able to download. We also want to be clear that we are not pastors, theologians, or biblical scholars. We are simply two ladies who love Jesus, love his word, and are committed to growing in truth together. Everything shared on this podcast should be weighed against Scripture and brought before the Lord in prayer. Our goal is not to replace sound teaching, but to encourage spiritual growth, accountability, and deep study within the body of Christ. So I think there's a restless Christianity. There is a quiet epidemic in modern Christianity, a spiritual restlessness that masquerades as seeking. People genuinely love Jesus. They want purpose. They want clarity. They want to know their calling, but underneath that hunger, there's an instability that is concerning. A constant scanning of horizons, a subtle dissatisfaction with the present, always wondering if they're missing something. It's almost like we're afraid to stay too long anywhere, as if commitment equals stagnation.
Yeah, and sometimes that restlessness can feel maybe spiritual, even righteous. But Hebrews 13:9 says,
"Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them."
So that reminds us to basically be established in grace and not carried about by various winds of doctrine. So when we look at the word established, that means anchored or rooted or settled. And there's a profound difference between being spirit-led and being instability-driven. So you cannot grow roots if you keep changing soil every season. So the same God who leads us also calls us to stay. And that was one of the examples that John Bevere gave. He said, that plants that are constantly being transplanted into new pots,
yeah,
their root systems, they weaken until the plant eventually dies.
Right. If you keep transplanting that same root, yeah, over and over and over, it eventually will die out, which I found that interesting. Because I, you know, we think about when you're actually using that example as transplanting, like I remember mom, she had hostas and I had them growing wild.
Yeah.
And we split one hosta up into like five plants and they still grew.
Right.
But if you just, like, if you transplanted the transplant of the transplant and you kept doing that, he referenced that that would eventually die off. Now, I've never tried that, but but the analogy seems correct.
Makes sense.
Right? Makes total sense.
Yeah.
So let's think about this also. If you handed me a seed, right, I wouldn't have a clue by examining a seed what it was. But right, once it's planted, it would reveal the identity by its fruit of what it produces, right?
Right.
Yep. So a seed doesn't discover itself through an analysis. It discovers itself through surrender to the soil. So let's look at John 12, 24. And so I'm there, John 12, 20. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I'm reading now the ESV there. So burial precedes multiplication. That's what that tells us, right? So before growth, there's a breaking. Before fruitfulness, you have to surrender. So just like the seed, before growth, there is breaking in the seed aspect. That's germination. You put it in the dirt, it's got to germinate, it's got to open up. And basically for us, for spiritual, it's that surrender, right?
Yeah, and that's so counterintuitive to our way of thinking.
That's true.
So we want to understand everything before we commit, right?
Yeah, it's true.
We want guarantees before we surrender.
Yep.
But that's not scripture. So, but Psalm 92, 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So notice the promise isn't to those who visit occasionally or those who just sample different soils. It's to those who are planted. Flourishing is promised to the planted, not the wanderers.
That's true. So let's look at why we resist planting. So I think planting sometimes removes options, right? And that could be a terrifying to our human nature. When you plant somewhere, you commit to a place and an environment. You stay through unseen seasons because you don't know, you know, what's after or what's coming, you know, forward. Through uncomfortable seasons, through seasons where nothing appears to be happening. So our culture validates movement. Change is progress. Movement is growth. That's how our culture looks at it. But scripture validates endurance. So let's look at James 1, verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
So we want fruit quickly, but God wants to develop our roots deeply. We want visible results, but God values invisible foundation. We want comfort, but God values character.
Yep.
So the resistance to planting isn't just logistical. It is spiritual. It's a resistance to the process God uses to form us. The soil that feels most uncomfortable often produces the strongest roots. And I know I want strong roots.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 18. And I'm going to read out of the ESV. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So that word, it's intentional. It's a divine placement. So the local church is not a consumer experience, or it shouldn't be. It's a cultivation environment. So Hebrews 10, 25 reminds us that not to forsake the assembling together, especially as we see the day approaching. And we know based on what's going on in the world, the day is clearly approaching. Church is not a buffet where we sample what we like. It's more like a greenhouse where growth happens over time.
Yeah. And I feel like some believers treat church like a spiritual dating app.
Yep.
So swiping through their options until they find the perfect match. I know I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But the perfect match, it just doesn't exist. So the perfect church does not exist. What exists is the place God has planted you to grow.
Yep.
So growth requires staying long enough for roots to form, long enough to weather seasons together, long enough to work through conflicts rather than running from them.
So roots grow underground. They are invisible, but determine everything about stability and nourishment. Jeremiah 17 describes the person planted by water. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So notice in that sequence, trust always comes first, then the planting, then the roots, and then endurance through the seasons, then fruit.
Yeah, so, I mean, fruit may attract attention, but roots is what sustains life.
Yes.
So John 15 talks about abiding, remaining. So sanctification is steady. It's incremental and it's layered. It happens best in planted soil. We're so focused on the fruit we can see that we neglect the roots we can't see. But what happens underground determines what happens above ground.
That is so true. So let's look at Colossians 3:23, where it says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men.
Yeah.
So if resentment exists in hidden seasons, visibility won't cure that.
That's true.
If you're bitter in obscurity, you'll be bitter in prominence. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says stewards must be found faithful. So let's look at Luke 16:12. It reminds us that stewardship precedes ownership. And 13:12 says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?
Right. So God tests roots before he entrusts fruit. He tests faithfulness in small things before giving greater things. The attitude with which we serve in the hidden seasons determines whether we'll be entrusted with visible seasons.
Yep.
And it's not about perfection. It's about faithfulness in the process.
Absolutely. Like, there is no place you can plant where you will never be offended. That's just facts. People will disappoint you. You will disappoint people. Leaders will make decisions you don't understand. Your gifts might not be recognized. But that doesn't mean we should just always constantly uproot. Now, the only time I'm going to say this clearly. The only time you should uproot is if you're not getting true biblical guidance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at a church or in any form of ministry or any Bible study or anything that is not rooted in the true word of God, then he does not want you to stay in that. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. But discernment still matters. 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits. The key question becomes, is it refining me or is it warning me? There's where discernment comes in.
Right. And maturity learns the difference between something that wounds your pride and something that violates scripture. Something that challenges your preferences versus something that compromises truth. So we need the wisdom to know when to endure and when to exit.
Yeah.
But too often we mistake offense for discernment and pride for principle.
That's true. And that's, like you said, this is where trust comes in. So this lesson ultimately comes down to trust. Trusting that God knows where to plant you. Trusting that hidden seasons are not wasted seasons. Trusting that the process is as important as the destination. So let's look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Notice the direction follows trust, not the other way around. So trust is always the beginning.
Right.
Got to start there.
And flourishing comes from being planted,
mm-hmm.
nourished, pruned, and remaining. It's not about finding the perfect place. It's about becoming the perfect plant wherever God has placed you.
Yes.
So the environment doesn't determine the fruitfulness as much as the plant's response to the environment.
That's so true. So, Crystal, let's move on to some discussion questions. We'll kind of go back and forth and try to answer these questions. The first one I have for us both is, what does spiritual restlessness look like in your own life? What do you say?
So I think for me, spiritual restlessness shows up as comparison. It can be subtle at first, where I start looking at what other people are doing or their ministries, maybe their influence or their pace. And I might begin questioning whether I'm behind or missing something. It doesn't feel rebellious. It just feels curious or even discerning at first. But underneath it, there's maybe a dissatisfaction that begins to grow.
Yeah.
So instead of being fully present where God has me, I start mentally wandering or daydreaming about other possibilities or other places, maybe a different assignment. And when I'm restless, my prayer life might change. So I'm not asking, Lord, form me here. I might be saying something like, Lord, move me somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's usually my indicator that something in me might need some anchoring.
Yeah. Well, that is truly relatable for me. It shows up for me as some impatience with the process, actually.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want a different assignment. I just want acceleration in what I'm the current assignment or, you know, what I'm currently doing. I can feel settled in where God maybe has planted me, but I start thinking, okay, Lord, what's next? Like, let's get to the next. I'm like, it's a constant run, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of, Lord, what are you still trying to build in me here? And restlessness for me isn't leaving physically. It's just rushing internally. And I've had to learn that just because I'm eager doesn't mean I'm ready for that next step. Eagerness without maturity can be very destructive. So
yeah.
I just got to kind of just be sitting patient, and truly patience is a big problem for me sometimes.
Yeah. Question number two, have you ever uprooted prematurely, and what was driving that decision?
I think yes for me, more times than I care to admit. And when I look back, honestly, it wasn't wisdom. It was discomfort. I've left environments because I felt overlooked or underutilized, or because something hurt my pride, or I wasn't seeing the results I expected in my own timeline. And instead of asking God what he was forming in me through those challenges, I assumed the problem was the place. So sometimes we can leave because it's truly God's timing, which I do feel the last couple times I've left a church, it was God's timing. But it's important to also recognize sometimes we left because of other reasons. We didn't want to deal with the environment that we were exposed to, and that can be humbling to admit.
Yeah, and for me, I would agree with that, with what you said. But I'd say it's also maybe fear disguised as discernment. I've stepped back from responsibilities too quickly because I was afraid of failure or afraid of being misunderstood. And, you know, I've probably tricked myself into saying, oh, that was just discernment, or that mm-hmm. was God releasing me, but was it really?
Yeah.
It could have been just self-protection. God has had to teach me that growth often feels unsafe before it feels stable. And the very things that feel threatening to our comfort are oftentimes the things God is using to develop our character.
Yeah, so true. That's true. So question three, how does scripture define flourishing differently than culture does? What do you say?
I would say culture defines flourishing as visibility or momentum and influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's about numbers, impact, or recognition. But scripture defines flourishing as rootedness,
yep.
endurance, and fruit in season. So Jeremiah 17 doesn't describe the flourishing person as the loudest or the most noticed.
That's true.
It describes them as stable during a drought, which means flourishing isn't about constant success. It's about consistent trust regardless of circumstances. And culture, unfortunately, celebrates the harvest, while scripture values the root system that produces said harvest.
That's so true. And I would add to that, that scripture connects flourishing to obedience rather than outcomes. I mean, we look at, if we look at culture, it looks at outcomes. How many Absolutely. Likes, how many this, how many of that, right? Yeah. Psalms 92 says, those who are planted flourish, not right. those who are popular or successful by worldly standards. Right. And we need to remember that, because sometimes it's hard to see that, right?
Yeah.
Flourishing in the kingdom does look quite different. It may look hidden. It may look like serving faithfully for years without any recognition ever. Yes. But heaven measures fruit differently than culture measures platforms, thank God.
Yeah, it's true.
The question isn't, are people noticing, but is God pleased? You know, we yeah. all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right?
Yep. Yep.
So that's good.
Okay. Question 4. What season are you currently in? Rooting, pruning, or fruit bearing?
Well, I'd say for me, there is a mixture. I have a mixture of pruning and fruit bearing. There are areas where I can see tangible fruit for sure. Things God has built over time through faithfulness, but at the same time, he's pruning areas of pride, refinement, motives, maybe slowing my pace when I want to rush ahead and I do. Because again, he knows and has been working on patience for me for quite some time.
Yeah.
And pruning can be uncomfortable because you're losing something even when you're growing. But I've learned that pruning isn't punishment and it's preparing for more fruit. And that, I'm thankful for that. The vine dresser doesn't prune dead branches. He prunes fruitful ones to make them even more fruitful. So there's where I'm at. I'm in the pruning stage. Thank you, Lord.
That's good. I feel like for me, I'm in a deep rooting season. It's not flashy, you know, it's not very dramatic, and it's not producing much visible fruit right now, but it's deep. You know, God is building stability in me, in my thought life, and my discipline, in my consistency with the small things. So the rooting seasons, you know, they feel kind of slow, but they're sacred, because what's happening underground, as we've been learning, determines everything that happens later. And the deeper the roots, the more fruitful the seasons to come. So I'm just
in the rooting.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's good because, you know, you've got a 2-year-old, you're rooting, you know, you and Andrew are doing really well with, you know, teaching her God-driven lifestyle, which I think is wonderful. You know, we go to church and we do praise and worship, and there's nothing more beautiful than to see the pastor pray and then the baby to throw her hands up, say amen, you know, we're in the middle of worship and without prompting, she just puts her hand up and she praises the Lord, you know? Yeah. So that deep root is going to go on to her, you know, and that's so important. So important.
Yeah.
Question 5 and our final question. How can you practically commit to being planted where God has placed you right now?
I would say that's consistency. Showing up even when I don't feel like it.
Yep.
Working on guarding my heart against comparison. Choosing to pray over impulse when something feels uncomfortable. Honoring leadership even when I don't fully understand decisions.
Yep.
Of course, as long as they're biblically sound, obviously.
Yeah.
That's important. Planting is practical and not emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistent obedience in small things that no one sees but God.
Yeah.
And it's serving without needing recognition. And it's giving without expecting return.
That's good. I think for me, it's surrendering, again, timeline expectations, right? It's saying, Lord, I trust you here. It's refusing to let offense make decisions for me. You know, in our world, just looking at social media or TV, it's easy to have offense no matter where you go. So it's staying connected to the body, serving faithfully, and letting God determine the pace of growth, not me.
Yeah.
Being planted doesn't mean being passive either. It means being faithful right where you are right now and with what we have while God works behind the scenes. It's finding contentment, not in circumstances, but in the obedience. So I think, you know, with all that, you know, we've recently, I think, officially planted in a one of our local churches. We're, you know, as you know, getting ready to meet with the pastors there. And we, as a family, feel really, I think, comfortable there. But sometimes, again, no matter where we serve, it's just being faithful and connecting to the body, which we're in the process of doing. You know, we have obviously our Beyond the Church Walls family also that we are completely planted with and meet every single week. But I think, you know, we're also like in a growth, we're I think we're all in a rooting stage, if I'm honest, right? And planting our roots deep. So, with that being said, do you have anything to add before we close in prayer?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's,
I think it was good.
Yeah. Let's close in prayer.
Okay. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for planting us intentionally. Forgive us for uprooting ourselves in impatience or pride. Strengthen our roots, teach us endurance, teach us obedience, form Christ-like character in us where you have placed us. We surrender our timelines and expectations to you. Establish us, ground us, and cause us to flourish. May we be like the tree described in Psalm 1:3, planted by rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither.
Yes,
and whatever we do shall prosper. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we want to thank you for joining us for Lesson 6 of our Called Bible Study series. If this message encouraged you, challenged you, or blessed you, share it with someone you know who needs to hear it. And if you're local, we would love for you to join our Tuesday night family at Beyond the Church Walls Ministry, and you can look us up on Facebook, send us a message on Messenger Facebook, or on our website at btcwministry.com.
And remember, you don't flourish by floating.
That's right.
You flourish by being planted.
Okay. Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we will see you next Thursday. God bless.